here with you once again. Good to have some visitors with us here. I did want to mention that I did see your article in Josephine. Actually, my wife found it. It's kind of hard to miss, though. I saw it was a big, nice, full-page spread and everything there, advertising. They're hopefully trying to get some Bible studies from some of the local community, and I would certainly hope that that would be something that would be accomplished by that. I can't imagine that people didn't at least see that, and they got to have some kind of response to it, either one way or the other, just, you know, shake, nod, wink, blink, something as to that, and I hope that you guys get a lot of response from that. Certainly do want to welcome everyone, though, again, here today. Certainly not the best day outside, and I think it's just going to get a little bit worse today, but hopefully we can all take comfort in the fact that we are here to worship God and to study a portion of His Word. The lesson this morning actually kind of stems from something that kind of has been going on for about the past week within my life. I've been staying home studying for the last part of the CPA test, hopefully the last part of it. So far, 3 for 3. Hopefully I can pass that fourth part here coming up on this Saturday. And in staying home, you know, during the day, you see a few things on TV that are a little bit different than what you might see during the prime time hours. You turn on the TV to take a break from studying or do something, and you see things like Court Television on, and you see things like a soap on, or you see some of these talk shows or some of these gossip television and different things of that nature. All of which you can kind of just put within that realm of, in my opinion, hopefully not offending anybody here, just kind of some trash TV that's on. And not that there's anything inherently wrong with any of those shows. Not that you can't watch anything like a Court Television show or whatever it might be to kind of to get you by throughout that day. But as you watch that, what I think is so sad about that is seeing the nature of our society today. Is seeing the way people respond and act towards one another. And it's just so sad to see the way that they would treat their own family members there. Some of these people are suing their mother or suing their dad, suing their brothers and their sisters over things that are just so meaningless and so simple. It's just amazing to see how these people are treating their family and treating one another. And as I thought about that, and as I looked at some of these people and the excuse that they came up with, time and time again, was that, you know, they were in a situation. Whether it was emotional or whether it was just something that was going on, whether it had to deal with money or whatever it was, they just couldn't see any other way out of this situation except for the action that they took. And you know, that is so common within this world today. As we get put within a situation where maybe it's not the easiest thing, and especially right now with this economy and some different things that are going on with this world, we all face those things from time to time. You get put in that situation, your emotions start going, your brain starts thinking, and all of a sudden, everything that you know as far as biblically teaching, as far as Christianity goes, just kind of gets pushed aside. And you start to react upon your emotions, and you start to react upon some of these different things, and before long you've gone down a pathway that you just don't even know how you got there. And as I look at that, it started to make me think about a character study that I did a couple years back. I'm kind of an obscure character, but someone that I think we can learn a great deal about in that regard. His name is Abishai. He's one of the characters that you read about in 1 and 2 Samuel, one of the commanders of David's army, as well as, of course, one of those warriors as well. He is an individual, of course, as you just think about a warrior here, who had a lot of emotional things going on. He was brought up within a family of warriors, brought up with Joab and with others, who of course, we read about in 1 and 2 Samuel. And he had a lot of those kind of emotional flares. He had a lot of those things that you would associate with someone who has constantly been around war his entire life. This is a person who oftentimes reacts upon his emotions, who oftentimes speaks before he really thinks, who oftentimes just seems to go off on the handle, as we would say. Yet this individual, though he has all of these emotions, all of these almost instabilities, these character flaws that we might be able to describe here, oftentimes asks David for advice. And when he does, whatever David says, it seems like in every situation, he listens to his king. Even when his emotions, the situation would tell him that he just needs to do this thing. If David says, no, we're going to do this, he follows him time and time again, putting himself aside because of his loyalties to his king, to David. I think that's something that we can learn a great deal about in looking at this individual. If you turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, you see a little bit about his background here that we just mentioned a moment ago. It says, now the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab and Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was as swift-footed as one of the gazelles, which is in the fields. And so one of the first things that we notice here is just simply his family. Of course, we know Joab being one of the great commanders, or really the commander that you see at all times with David's army. You also see his brother here, who was another warrior, who was listed among those 30 that we read about in 2 Samuel. You see as well, if you turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 16, a little bit about this Zeruiah, who is his mother here, that she was a daughter of Jesse. And you take back and think there for a moment, well, who else was a child of Jesse? Well, you know that David was a child, that he was the son of Jesse. And so as you look at that there, you see then that David, as well as Abishai here, have a family relationship, have a connection with one another. We see here that David, of course, was his uncle then. So we see here that he grew up as a nephew here of the king, someone who, of course, he would have had a great deal of loyalty, a great deal of respect for here as a family bond, as well as by the fact that he is, of course, his king. As well as you see here, again, as we mentioned, he grew up in an entire family here of warriors, and an entire family of people here who were constantly around battle and would have grown up with a lot of that within his mind. You also see here that he was a commander of the army. If you turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 10 here, you see that at different times here, his brother Joab placed him over many of the other warriors. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, you see them here at battle. And in verse 9 it says, "Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him in front and in rear, he selected from all the choice men of Israel and arrayed them against the Arameans. But he reminded all of the people, but the remainder of the people he placed in the hand of Abishai, his brother, and he arrayed them against the sons of Ammon. He said, 'If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come to help you. Be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for our cities of God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight.' So Joab and the people who were with him drew near to the battle against the Arameans, and they fled before him. While the sons of Ammon saw that the Arameans fled, they also fled from Abishai and entered the city. Then Joab returned from fighting against the sons of Ammon and came to Jerusalem." So here we see that Joab places him over this battle. As he looks at all the people that he could have chosen, of course, maybe a little bit of favoritism being shown here to his brother. But of course, if you're in a battle situation, I don't think you have time too much to play a lot of favoritism. You're going to select someone here who you know can do exactly what you just commanded them to do. When your life is at risk, his brother here knew that he could rely upon Abishai. He knew that this is an individual who could lead and could lead them into a victory, which of course we see here that both Joab as well as Abishai were victorious on this occasion. So we see here that this was an individual who his soldiers trusted, whom the commander trusted here. But again, we could say, well, maybe this is a little bit of favoritism that's being shown here. Well, look at David as well. David had a lot of trust in him as well. If you turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 20, you read there in verse 4 that David also places him over a number of people in a situation that was threatening really the whole nation at this time. Starting there in verse 4, it says, "And the king said to Amasa, 'Call out the men of Judah and me within 3 days, and be present here yourself.'" Not sure if this is the right passage. "So Amasa went to call out the men of Judah, but he delayed longer and set him, he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, 'Now Sheba, the son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him so that he does not find for himself fortified cities and escape from our sight.'" That was the right passage after all. As you look at that there, you see here a situation that has arisen within the nation of Israel. And as you look at that situation here, it's described as a situation here with Sheba that may be a situation that is bigger than that of what happened with Absalom. Which if you remember back to Absalom, of course, being one of David's other sons here, you see here that Absalom had caused such a situation, and we'll read about it here in just a moment, within the nation of Israel, that David actually had to flee with a number of his men for his own life here. Absalom, of course, would stand outside the city gate, and as people would come with their different problems, he would hear their problems, and in doing so, he actually stole the heart of Israel away from their king David. And so here we see David saying that this is a situation that may be worse than that. And as he looks at that situation, he appoints someone here to put that revolt down, the revolt of Sheba down. And notice who he puts in charge of that. He puts Abishai in charge here. So not only do we see that Joab trusted him for his loyalty, for his ability to accomplish those things in battle, but we also see that the king, David here, knew that this was a loyal subject, someone whom he could place within a charge here and that he could accomplish what it was that he set him over to do. And of course, we see within a number of different passages that he did have results. We read there in 2 Samuel chapter 10, that he was able, of course, to defeat the Arameans and the Ammonites. You also read in 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 12 through 13 there, that on this occasion they were able to defeat some 18,000 individuals here, and among those 18,000 Edomites that they defeated, not only did they slay those 18,000, but you also see here that it also mentions that he made many others the servants of David. So as we look at this, of course, he's able to take on a large group of people and be able to overcome them. You read also in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 20, as well as in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 18 and 19, that he was the commander of the 30. The 30, of course, being those 30 warriors that David had kind of set aside as his greatest or most valiant warriors here, and he was placed among the top or the commanders of them. And so as you look at this individual, just as his background here, you see that he was someone who was able to accomplish a great deal. Someone whom, if we, of course, had today, that we would likely place as a commander over our army as well. Someone here who we knew could accomplish these results. Someone here who was constantly within the battle, within the thick of things, and was not afraid to go before in loyalty to his country and to his king. In doing so, we see here that Abishai had a great deal of effect on David's borders being pushed back and being able to really expand his borders. You read in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 through 14, of all the borders that David was able to extend. It says that his land reached across the Jordan. We also see that it went up into Dan in the north. It went down into the Beersheba in the south. That it went to Gilead in the west. That these were just huge borders at this time. Far beyond just the city of Jerusalem. Far beyond what was just given to them. If you read back in the book of Exodus. This was something that they continued to expand the kingdom here. And of course, Abishai played a great part within that. Of course, God being the one ultimately who gave them all of these lands and was working through Abishai and through David. As you look a little bit further into his background here, as we mentioned, and as you can kind of see there, he was, of course, a warrior. But in looking at some of the stories, you can see just how valiant that he was. If you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 18 there, you see that on one occasion, he by himself was able to slay some 300 individuals there, some 300 people that you read about there. And this was, of course, during the time period, and we could try to blow this out and say, well, maybe it really wasn't 300 that he killed. Maybe that was all of the people here. But as you look at this passage, you know that this is very clear. It is laying it forth that he was the one who was responsible for 300 deaths here. That he was a valiant warrior. One whom, of course, we could place a great deal of charge, a great deal of service towards. You also see, and we'll turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 15 through 17 there, a story that I think is really somewhat underplayed, I think, within the scriptures. It says there, starting in verse 15 of 2 Samuel chapter 21, "Now when the Philistines were at war, again with Israel, David went down and his servants with him. And as they fought against the Philistines, David became weary. Then Ishbi-benob, who was among the descendants of the giant, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze in weight, was girded with a new sword, and he intended to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, 'You shall not go out again with us to battle, so that you do not extinguish the lamp of Israel.'" Of course, this is the time period here where David had kind of grown on within his years, and had, of course, had really no business being out here on this battlefield at this time. Of course, in his younger days, we know that he was able to slay a giant in Goliath. And this is why I think that this story is so interesting here with Abishai. It's very similar to that story that we read about there with Goliath. We see here that they are the same people here, that they're both Philistines, that they're both among that race of giants. That again, the scriptures, just as you read about there with Goliath, points out some of the different armors and the weight and different things that he was carrying. And as you look at that story here, it's not David who kills the giant on this occasion, but rather it's Abishai, showing again his very valiant skills here as a warrior. As you look at him a little bit further here, as we think about this, though, you know, a warrior at this time, we mentioned in the introduction, would have been someone here who had a lot of emotions, who had a lot of things going on here, constantly being brought up around these types of things, constantly being forced into battle, constantly being thought here that they have to react really upon a whim here, or else the life is going to be taken away from them. He's placed into a number of different situations, which he could have really reacted very harshly, very quickly, and done the wrong thing. But as we look at all these situations that we're about to enter into here, I want you to remember here that he constantly is loyal unto David, constantly does that which the king would have him to do. You look there in 1 Samuel chapter 26 with me, and you see the first story that we see here, and this is really the first time that we're introduced with the scriptures to Abishai. And in 1 Samuel chapter 26, just to set the background here a little bit, we see here, of course, Saul is seeking after David, that he's seeking to kill David. that, of course, David here has a number of his warriors with him, kind of protecting him here and going with him as they flee for their lives. And, of course, his men here are also at the cause of their life. Saul is not just going to seek after and just kill David, but anybody that's found with him here, anybody that's found defending David at this time, Saul's going to try to kill them as well. So Abishai's life, as well as that of his kings, is, of course, in jeopardy here. And you read there in verse 2, of chapter 26, it says, "So Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having with him 3,000 chosen men of Israel to search for David in the wilderness of Ziph." So we see here again that this is a great many deal of people here who are seeking after him, some 3,000 individuals going after David, going after his men. And of course, they had nowhere near that many people with them. In verse 6, though, we see here that there's a situation that arises, an opportunity that arises. In verse 6, it says, "Then David said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp? And Abishai said, I will go with you. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul was laying inside the circle of the camp, and his spear stuck in the ground at his head. And Abner and the people were laying around him. Then Abishai said to David, Today God has delivered your enemy into our hand. Now therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time." So as you stop there and you look at this situation that arises, David asks of his people here, someone to go down into this camp of 3,000 people with him. Only two individuals are going to go down there, David and one other person. And it seems as though Abishai jumps at this opportunity here and says, you know what, I'll go with you. I will go with you down into these 3,000 people here at night. He doesn't seem too concerned about this. Seems very rash in his action here, very confident here that they're going to be able to accomplish whatever it is that they're going down there to do. And so as he enters into these people, you know, the emotions had to be going here. Even though these people are asleep, they had to be on pins and needles here thinking, you know, if we wake up any one of these individuals, it's two people against 3,000 soldiers. They don't stand a chance. And as he comes unto Saul, he sees a perfect opportunity here. An opportunity here that he can slay this individual who has been hunting him for these many months. And he says here, you know, just let me strike him one time. I don't have to strike a second time. He's a warrior here. He's going to kill him the first strike here. There's not going to need to be a second blow. But as you read